2 Kings chapter 6 is where our passage will be from, but before that we're going to see another passage. If we can look up Leviticus chapter 26, Leviticus chapter 26, it's the third book of the Bible, so way towards the front. Leviticus chapter 26. Now this chapter, it's Moses who's giving commands and instruction to Israel, as Moses is leading the children of Israel through the wilderness. Now, there's many instructions that were given. It was after the Ten Commandments were given. But here, he says in verse 3, chapter 26 and verse 3, he says, if ye walk in my statutes, and he's talking from God's perspective, and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you da-da-da-da. And he lists a whole big range of things that go from verse 4 right down to verse 13. Now, I'm not going to go through all of those things for sake of time, because we want to get going with this whole story, see what happens and see why God does certain things. But he wants to bless those who are fulfilling his will and his purpose. And by the way, we can make application to our lives if we keep God's statutes, his commandments, to keep his commandments and do them. By the way, you can't do them if you don't know them. Read them and apply it to your life. You'll receive God's blessings on your life, right? Make it a part of your life. Don't just wait till Sunday to hear God's word. Seek to put it into your life day by day. Go down to verse 14. This is Leviticus chapter 26, verse 14. But there throws an opposite direction to what he's talking about. But if ye will not hearken unto me, hearken is to listen with your heart. If you will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint you over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague that shall consume the eyes, and cause sorrow of heart. And ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. So you plant, somebody else eats. It's not a happy state, is it? And I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. The sword. They that hate you shall reign over you, ruled by somebody else. Is not after your best at heart. And ye shall flee when none pursueth you. In other words, you're looking over your shoulder for somebody who might be there. You end up running for no one. That's some shocking punishment for not following God's word. This chapter would go ahead and say, and if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. And he lists some other things that would happen. Seven times is a lot when it's talking about these horrible punishments that's already happened. I won't list them for sake of time. Go down to verse 21. And if ye walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. And he talks about the wild beasts there. He talks about they'll rob you of your children and destroy your cattle, make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. God desires that his judgments turn our hearts back to him. Sometimes we will be hard of heart and not want to listen to God because we want to continue in the things we're used to, the things that we want to do. God seeks to turn us from our purpose sometimes. But sometimes we harden our hearts and we will not hear God. Verse 22. And if ye will not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary unto me, then will I also walk contrary unto you, and will punish you yet seven times for your sins. Don't you think it was enough already? Surely I can get away with my sin. But then I get a whole lot of stuff dumped on me. But I still like that sin. I get a whole lot more dumped on me. And he's saying that he's going to punish me seven times more. How hard of heart are we? And here, verse 25, I'll bring a sword upon you. Further down, he says, I'll send pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. So now, you're sold into slavery. Verse 28, he's going to break the staff of your bread. Means go hungry. Ten women shall bake your bread in one oven. They'll all be using each other's oven. That's a pretty sad, sorry state. And it says you'll eat your bread again by weight. They'll deliver your bread again by weight. In other words, you're only given certain portions. That's all you can eat. And you won't be satisfied. Wouldn't you think that'd be enough to turn the hearts of the children of Israel? Verse 27 says, and if ye will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then I'll walk contrary unto you also in fury. And I will chastise you seven times for your sins. And this is the part where I wanted to bring attention to. The children of Israel had hardened their hearts to such a degree. And it says, verse 29, and ye shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall ye eat. How disgusting is that? That is horrible. Nothing short of it. There's no words that can describe it. And he continues on for other things that would happen. Turn back over, please, to 2 Kings chapter 6. Second Kings, from Ahab through, we haven't really looked at much. There's so many things that I could bring out. It's basically the time, the end of 1 Kings would be Ahab and his dealing with Elijah. Elijah came up to him. You know, when Ahab, he got Naboth's vineyard and he wanted to buy it, but Naboth said no. And so he sulked and his wife said, oh, yeah, we'll just make up a story and we'll get him killed. And so after that, he took his vineyard and Elijah meets him. He says, has thou killed and hast thou also taken possession? That's what Elijah said to Ahab. Ahab said, oh, have you found me, mine enemy? And so Elijah prophesies against Ahab and against his sons. If you continue on to 2 Kings, we find that Ahaziah, Ahab's son, reigns after Ahab's killed in battle. And Ahaziah, who was very early, he only reigned for 2 years. But he fell through a lattice window. And he was sick, so he goes to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, to see if he's going to recover. But God tells Elijah, go and meet him in his way. And so he does, and he says, is there not a God in Israel that you go to inquire of these false gods? So he tells off Ahaziah, and he says, through the messenger that Ahaziah sent, and he says, go tell Ahaziah that because he hasn't inquired of God, he won't come up from that bed that he's in. He's going to die. So Ahaziah passed away. due to his injuries through falling through the lattice. And his brother begins to reign, Jehoram. That's probably in chapter 2, Jehoram begins to reign. Sorry, chapter 2 is about Elijah going up, taken up to heaven in a whirlwind. And then Elisha takes his position as the prophet. Now, chapter 3, now Jehoram, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria, the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. We could go on and see how the people who were subservient to Ahab, it was the Moabites. In fact, the Moabites used to give them a lot of sheep every year. And in fact, chapter 3, 2 Kings chapter 3 and verse 4, it says, Amasa, king of Moab, was a sheep master and rendered unto the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and 100,000 rams with the wool. That's a lot of sheep, 100,000. And he had to give this year by year. But here, Moab was rebelling against Ahab's son, Jehoram. Why? It's because in verse 2, chapter 3, verse 2, have a look, and you'll see the character of Jehoram. And he wrought evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and like his mother, for he put away the image of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he cleaved unto the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin. He departed not therefrom. So he was a wicked man, and he followed this sin that Jeroboam had set up. He made the two golden calves in Dan and probably the other one in Bethel. And they went to the one in Dan, and they used to fall down and worship this golden calf, something that they had made with their own hands. How foolish. But nevertheless, that's what they did. And because of his rebellion against the Lord, God allowed the enemies about to start to defeat him. And they rebelled against him here. So Jehoram, he sent down to the southern kingdom, and Jehoshaphat is there, who shouldn't have made alliance with a wicked man. He'd already tried making an alliance with Ahab, if we remember that, and God told him off for that alliance. But here, in verse 7, and he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, saying, the king of Moab has rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle? And he said, I will go up. I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses. Now that statement, you should know, those who are here in Sunday school class anyway should know, because we went through that same statement last year halfway through. But it wasn't to do with Jehoshaphat making an agreement to go and help Jehoram. It was an alliance between Jehoshaphat and Jehoram's dad, Ahab, who he'd already been told off for. He should have known better. And we know how Jehoshaphat, though he was a God-fearing king, his big fault was that he helped the ungodly and he made compromises. Can I tell you, there's never a reason to compromise God's word. We ought to stay faithful to God's word and do those things that are upright in God's sight, not in people's sight. Even if we think we know better, trust God and his word. He is trustworthy. Now we're going to keep going. Jehoram is the king. That's what I'm trying to establish at the moment. Now we could talk about, chapter 4 tells us a bit about the Syrians and how they began to fight against Israel. Chapter 5 tells us about the Syrian captain, Naaman, and how he was the captain of the army of the Syrians who had taken a little Israelite girl, a maid, to help do the dishes and help do things around the home. This little maid said, I wish my Lord would go to the prophet in Samaria because he would heal him of his disease. Naaman was a leper. He had leprosy, but he was a mighty man of valor. They needed him in the Syrian army. And when the people heard that there was a prophet in Samaria who could heal him, the king of Syria wrote letters, gave him to Naaman and said, go to the king of Israel and get healed. So he went with all this gold and silver and everything else and says, I hear you can heal me. And who was the king? It was Jehoram. And the king of Israel was scared stiff, and he rent his clothes, and he says, he's just trying to start a fight. Of course, the Syrians have been warring against them. Now this guy wants to be healed. But then when the prophet Elisha heard that the king had rent his clothes, he sent to him and said, is there not a prophet in Israel? Send him to me, and he'll know that there's a prophet in Israel. And he got healed. We could talk about that, the healing of Naaman with his leprosy. But what I want to establish there is there was wars going on between Syria and Israel, even though the captain there went to get healed by an Israelite. That's really weird to me. Then we find in later part of the chapter, or rather the following chapter, in the start of chapter 6, we find that there was war. Look in verse 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with a servant, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. You know what happened? The prophet Elisha sent to the king of Israel and said, make sure you don't go over there, because that's where the Syrians will be. And he saved himself not once or twice, in other words, more than that. Because everywhere that the Syrians went, the prophet Elisha would tell them, because God told him. Pretty interesting, hey? So Israel was saved from their problems. Now there was, when they found out that, they came to take Elisha. Then Elisha's servant, must have been Gehazi, looks out and says, my Lord, look at all the Syrians, help! And he says, don't be affrighted. He says, because they that are with us are more than is with them. You can read it in chapter 6. And Elisha said, Lord, open up the servant's eyes so he can see. You can see the chariots in heaven and the horsemen. And they, like the armies of heaven were shown before the servant. And then he prays to God, Elisha does, and he says, Lord, just smite them with blindness. So they come in, ready to fight and stuff. And Elisha says to them, oh, this isn't the city you want. This isn't the person you want. And he led them to Samaria. And then he asked the Lord, can you open their eyes now? When they're before the king. And they realize where they were, and they're standing before the king of Israel. And the king of Israel is saying, shall I smite them? He says, do you smite people when you've taken them captive? No, feed them and let them go home. And it says in chapter 6, he sent them away. This is in, verse 23. I'll read it. And he prepared great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. It's interesting that it says they came no more into the land of Israel. The very following verse, it says, and it came to pass after this, that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his hosts and went up and besieged Samaria. So they came no more like they did before, is what it's talking about. But this time he came up and besieged Samaria. Samaria is the capital city of Israel, which is the northern kingdom of Israel, the 10 tribes up the top, as opposed to the 2 tribes down in Judah. And Samaria is the capital. And we've got here, the Syrians come and besiege the city of Samaria, which has got walls. That means they surround the place, so that Israel cannot come in nor go out. They're besieged. There's going to come a certain time when there's only a certain amount of food within those walls. And they're going to have to come out. They're besieged for 6 or 7 months, I think, something like that. Now, you can see they're starting to get hungry. And it says in verse 24, and it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver. 80 pieces of silver for an ass's head. I hope you're feeling hungry. And then it says, and the fourth part of a quarter of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. You'd have to be starved. And they were. Rod said this morning, I told him what I was going to be speaking on. He said, that's called supply and demand. That's it's pretty disgusting. But that's where they're at. That's the horrific position. And did you know it happens in such a short time? There's people in our amongst our politicians, probably 15, 20 years ago, who would say it could never happen in our culture. God has a habit of bringing low the proud. It could very much happen in our culture. Now, it's an interesting thing, as I was going through the kings and the prophets, and I've got different charts on this here. When you count them up to this particular king, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 till we're at Jehoram. But there's some of those who only reigned for like 2 years. In fact, there's Nadab, who's straight after Jeroboam. There's Elam and there's Zimri. One of them was for 2 years. One of them was only for 7 days, I believe. And then there was another one. I can't read his name here. But he only reigned for 2 years. Oh, sorry, Ahaziah. Ahaziah, we just spoke about. He was the first son of Ahab that was reigning. He only reigned for a couple of years. If you take those out, it's 1, 2, 3, 4 of them. You're left with 5. 5 major kings of Israel who reigned up to the time of Jehoram. Now, when you look back at that Leviticus chapter 26, I noticed that 4 times the Lord's word was, if you don't listen, I'm going to hit you 7 times worse with these judgments. But that was after he had already given the judgments, which means 5 times worth of judgments, yeah? He said, if you don't honour me and keep my commandments, I'm going to punish you. Then if you still don't hearken unto me, I'm going to punish you 7 times worse with these judgments. He said that 7 times, 4 times. Which means there's 5 lots of judgments that were given. It's an interesting thing that 5 of the main kings of Israel falls upon Jehoram. We continue in our story here. There was great famine. The ass's head was sold for 4 score pieces of silver, and the 4th part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, help my lord, O king. And he said, if the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor? Of course, there's nothing there. Out of the barn floor? Or out of the wine press? And the king said unto her, what aileth thee? What's your problem? And she answered, this woman said unto me, give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, give thy son that we may eat him. And she hath hid her son. How disgusting. How horrible. How abominable. Hunger causes people to do a lot of things they wouldn't normally do. Even people without the Lord. This is the position that Israel was in. Did you know that the kings of Israel, since Jeroboam didn't want the people to go back to Jerusalem to worship once a year, because he said in his heart that they might go back there and give allegiance to Judah, and therefore I'll lose the kingdom and they'll kill me. This is when Jeroboam started to reign over Israel. Because he wasn't of the lineage of David and Solomon. Solomon's son was Rehoboam, who ended up with only 2 tribes of Judah. So Jeroboam set up those 2 golden calves for Israel to worship and said, it's too hard for you to go back there every year. Worship here. And it became a sin to Israel. And just about all, most of the kings, it's said of them that they didn't follow in the ways of God. They didn't have a heart after the Lord, but they followed in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. And we read that about Jehoram. They hadn't listened, and they hadn't listened, and they hadn't listened, and they hadn't listened, and they hadn't listened. And here we are at the point, eating their sons and daughters for food. How disgusting. This great famine, in despair. We're in spiritual despair in Australia. We're void of understanding of God's ways. We have rejected his ways. God would be so disgusted with our country and our nation. He has blessed our country in every which way. Yet we don't give him glory. We give people glory. We give ourselves glory, but not the God of heaven. So, when he rent his clothes, in verse 30, he rent his clothes, and it came to pass, as he passed by upon the wall, and the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. And he said, God do so, and more also to me, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day. Even in this very harsh situation, these hardships did not turn the king's heart back to God in repentance, and so that he would cry out and say, Lord, forgive us for our iniquities. It made him bitter and angry and tried to fight against God. And he says, I'm going to take Elisha down. Elisha had also prophesied against these people. But Elisha sat in his house, in verse 32, and the elders sat with him, and the king sent a man from before him. But ere the messenger came to him, he said to the elders, see ye how this son of a murderer hath sent to take away mine head. Look, when the messenger cometh, shut the door and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him? So in other words, Jehoram's going to come too. Hold him fast. And while he yet talked with them, behold, the messenger came down unto him and said, behold, this evil is of the Lord. This messenger knew that it was of the Lord. What should I wait for the Lord any longer? Shall I wait to have food? Will God send food? Why should I wait for him any longer? He's not going to wait for the Lord any longer. I dare say he probably was never waiting for the Lord. He was hoping that the Lord might have a bit of mercy upon them. We'll keep going in the next chapter. We find out Elisha says, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. In other words, it's back to normal prices for all the goods you can have. How could that be? There's a lot of people who wouldn't believe that in such a time as this. What does it say in verse 2? Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? He didn't believe. No way. God's word, forget it, mate. We know what this has been like for months on end without food. And you say God's going to give us food by tomorrow? Sure thing. And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat of it. And then straight away it tells us about 4 leprous men, verse 3. 4 leprous men at the entering of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we'll enter into the city, then the famine is in the city. And we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore come, let us fall into the hand of the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. We're going to anyway. They're at the point of death. They're at the point of starvation. Israel won't have them, but even if they were to go in there, they're going to starve in the city. So if they go to the to the enemies, to the Syrians, they might have mercy, and if they don't, well, then they've got nothing to lose. So here they go. They rose up in verse 5 in the twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. When they come into the uttermost part of the camp of the Syrians, behold, there was no man there. No man there? Why? For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and the noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. This is good news. There's food for everyone. Well, to cut a long story short, they set a porter at the gate, who was the person on whose hand the king leaned, that person who, when Elisha said, by tomorrow you'll be able to buy food real cheap. And he says, if there's windows in heaven, might this thing be? He didn't believe it. We appointed him as the porter of the gate. The people, when they heard it, they trod him and he died. They trod on him so badly. So he heard of it, but he didn't taste of it, just as the prophet said. God keeps his word. Funny thing that. When he says something, he has his way of bringing it to come to pass. We do well to take heed to God's word. So there's something that we can learn out of this here too. The good news, those lepers, they were like us. They're sick people. We're sick in our sin. And yet they found relief from their sin because there was something that was a free gift just outside the gate. And they were to go and get it, to receive it. They started hiding it. But then they realized they need to go and tell. When we see the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who is given as a free gift to us, we receive him as our Savior. We have eternal life. We can be overjoyed. We can be thrilled. Some of us will hide him in our heart and forget about the rest of the world. But we do not well if we do that. We need to go and tell. Beyond these walls, there are many a person who hasn't really heard with understanding the gospel, or who needs some encouragement to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior so that they can be freed from the damnation that they're in. They need to be told about the Lord Jesus. We, in our leprosy state, the sinful state that we're in, can be used by God to bring the message. We don't have to be polished. We do need to know that there's the available food out there for all. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We can go and tell all the people. If we did, we'd be doing well. It's up to them if they don't want to believe. That's not upon us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you that you are a God who keeps your word. Lord, you're trustworthy in every regard. And Lord, you want to bless us as your people. Help us to be obedient to your commands so that we don't end up suffering the consequences of our sin. But Lord, that we might receive your blessings. I pray, Lord, in this day and age where our leaders have forsaken your ways, and Lord, they have heaped upon themselves sins to their own destruction. I pray that you might have mercy upon our country. Help us, Lord, to be willing to go and tell them of the living Word of God. Lord, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Jesus Christ in the flesh, He's paid for our sins. Lord, we thank you for all you've done for us, paying for our sin. We don't deserve that payment. But Lord, it's free to all who will believe. Help us to tell the world about us. We thank you for the salvation we have in Christ. We ask, Lord, give us boldness and strength even through this week to do those things that you require of us, that we might be acceptable in your sight, and Lord, that others would come to know our Saviour. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.